It was, I want to say, a couple weeks after that, the NFL came down with a suspension for Mike Hall Jr. This one happens about a month earlier, so we'll see how kind of that plays out. But you're going to lay out right now for us, JP, why the recent developments for the Browns might have already changed their plans.
All right, just from a pure football perspective, if part of the reason why I thought the Browns would have interest in Kenny Pickett and why I think they like Kenny Pickett is that Kenny Pickett doesn't turn the ball over much. And I thought their plan going into this upcoming season for the first few weeks, even though I thought Joe Flacco would still start, if they went Kenny Pickett, it'd be with the idea that they want to do two things, which is run the ball and play great defense. Basically, they wanted to do a poor man's version of the Steelers offense and what they've seen Kenny Pickett not thrive in, but at least play in before, and that's how they would end up winning a lot of games. Well, if Judkins is out and you don't have the run game, you'll still have a strong defense, but I wonder if instead of trying to limit turnovers and have the strong run game, if this then puts Joe Flacco in the driver's seat.
So I think that's interesting. There is a part of me that's like, you don't necessarily need a bell cow back to run the power run scheme or the outside zone scheme. But I can understand how if you're already juggling, all right, who's at quarterback? I can understand how if you can't get three tough yards, how that might impact the way you look at the quarterback spot.
I mean, I thought if Kenny Pickett won the job for week one, they were going to throw the ball 20 to 25 times, just a terribly low amount of times. Yeah. And then it'd be a lot of different running backs and a lot of different looks within the running back situation. But if you don't have a run game, if Judkins isn't there and it's just Ford and it's just Samson, and I like Ford and I like Samson, but if it's just those two guys, maybe this is where they have to pivot the offensive outlook and all of a sudden say, all right, Joe, we're back to letting you just let it loose and let it rip.
The math I keep trying to math with the Browns is, where do you get explosive plays from? And so this might run contrary to your idea. Jerome Ford and Dylan Sampson, I don't know if they're consistent enough to each get 15 carries a game or 20 carries a game, right? Whatever used to slot in for Nick Chubb per game. But I do think I think one of the reasons why Joe Flacco makes so much sense to me is I don't see you moving the ball with Kenny Pickett or Dylan Gabriel. I just don't. I see you dinking and dunking, and the reality is when that's the knock on you, you've got to then prove that you can do the other thing, and I don't think either Kenny or Dylan can do it. So that's why it's always made sense for Joe, specific to the running back. If you're Kenny Pickett, this might be mana from heaven, even though nobody ever wants this kind of stuff to happen, but just from the line of Jerome Ford or Dylan Sampson, the second they touch the ball, you might get a bunch of one-yard runs. You get one touchdown, that might open up the offense for you.
I just think Kenny Pickett's going to be asked. He would have been asked if we had Judkins and everyone there to basically game manage is all it is. That's what he is. He's not even a glorified game manager. He is a game manager, where now with Flacco, if you go against the grain and you go with Flacco and you let him just kind of rip it, that's your best chance of actually putting touchdowns on the board.
I think what's going to be really interesting is if he does face suspension by the league, and I think some people have assumed that's going to be a foregone conclusion. We haven't. It is really dangerous to assume anything this early in the proceeding. But if it happens, and if it comes to fruition, I think it's going to be really interesting when it happens. Because if you say it happens week 1 through 6, I don't know, Matt. I'm not trying to put too much on Quinshon or take anything away from Jerome Ford. Against those defenses where you're facing better defenses, you're going to need to get tough yards. You're going to have to find short yardage guys from somewhere, and it sure as hell isn't going to be Dylan Sampson at this point. And I still don't think between the tackles that's where Jerome's going to get you either.
No, you're going to have a lot of drives if it's the two of them. And I like both of them, but you're going to have a lot of drives because their home run hitting ability, where you have like, first and 10 turns into second and 9, that turns into third and 7, and then it turns into turnover on downs.
216-474-0092. Want to hear you guys on this. I like the way you laid it out. I think it makes some sense. I don't want to say it makes a lot of sense that this could impact the quarterback spot just because when you go to Kenny, you need everything in place. You need the offensive line to be healthy. You need Jerry Jeudy to be healthy and engage in the offense. You need a better David Njoku than he got last year. And you do need, specific to the running game, you need to be able to run for 150 yards a game to have a chance with Kenny Pickett because of his lack of arm talent. I think you're onto something, and it'll be interesting. Because I think there's math involved. It's not just Quinshon. But all right, What if DeJuan misses a game at the start of the season, or Ethan Posick isn't ready for? If you have some injury on the offensive line, I think there is some sort of complicated math, some arithmetic that says that just wouldn't be right to send Kenny out there unless he is surrounded, because he is the epitome of what people talked about with Baker. You need everything around him where it needs to be,
right?
And heading in the right direction. If you're starting to subtract pieces, he's going to go from a guy I already don't think is very good to really being potentially problematic and just being teed off on, because teams know you can't throw the damn ball down the field.
I mean, I would imagine, and obviously everyone in the Browns organization is upset with this news, but like Kevin Stefanski, if you wanted to go back to the old Kevin Stefanski, the original Kevin Stefanski, where you just run the ball and you figure out ways to use the ground game, like that's ultimately what he's been built his entire career around. Like, this is a big detriment to that if you miss the first weeks of the season.
And it's interesting you say that. We've never seen, because this might be where the Kevin Stefanski, we're going to turn back the clocks to 2020, 2021, 2023. This might be where there's more faulty math. He's never done that in Cleveland, minus Nick Chubb, right? I guess technically you did have no Nick Chubb for all but like five quarters in 2023, but the running game wasn't good that year.
Mm-hmm.
Like you got by with elite defense and just enough plays, and then when Joe came in, it didn't really matter what the run game did, because he just threw a bunch of touchdowns and got guys open.
Remember the last year with Baker? He only threw, I think, maybe like 28, 29 passes a game or whatever it was. But like before the season, there was a Matthew Berry report. Matthew Berry is a big fantasy football guy, as you guys know out there. But Matthew Berry had talked to somebody at the Combine, and they had suggested that Baker would throw 35 to 40 times per game. And it was like, oh, we're going to have this massively different offense. It's going to look different. It's going to be different. And then obviously the season went the way that it went. Like, I think Stefanski is most comfortable with a quarterback that throws the ball fewer times than not and is able to just rely on just a great running game.
So as mentioned, Zach Jackson was on with the Morning Boys earlier today and did break down the quarterback situation absent of the Judkins charges.
Based on what I think right now and who it would be, that would be Kenny Pickett. But I think it's way too early to say that with any, because, like, I guess I won't be stunned if Kenny Pickett's the week one starter. I think it's fair to wonder if Shador will ever play a real down. Do I think he has the talent to potentially be a starting quarterback in this league? Yes, but potentially, eventually, not this September.
So we'll put the Shador thing off for a moment. If I'm Kenny Pickett, do I feel a little less secure in where I'm going? Honestly, he shouldn't feel secure the second they drafted the second quarterback.
Right, right.
But now that you're missing one weapon,
I mean, I think his odds went way down.
I don't know way down, but they're impacted.
If I were him, I'd look at it like they went way down. And now that sucks to look at it that way, because then you're dependent. Your skill set is dependent on other people being great or other people doing their job. But at this point in Kenny Pickett's career, that's who he is.
The only thing I'd say about that is I don't know athletes have that kind of self-awareness. I don't mean to mean that harshly, but to get where Kenny's gotten or any of these other guys, you have to have such a supreme confidence in who you are and what you do and your ability to football that there's a part of me that I wonder if he's doing the math.
Yeah, maybe he's not. Maybe he's just like, I'll just put my head down and I'll train and I'll focus on everything and I'll let the chips fall where they may. But if I'm looking at this as like, is the deck now stacked against you with Judkins if he's out for the first 6 weeks? If you're trying to win the starting job week one, I would say it looks more stacked against you than it did 48 hours ago.
Jerry, welcome to the show. Jerry, what you got for us? Thank you for waiting, Jerry, for the call. Yeah, they're not trading Quinshon. They're not going to do that.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't expect that in the slightest bit. Now, it will be interesting to see how he tries to get all his money and the guaranteed money with the second round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, does he hold out the way that the entire second round pick class minus two people have?
Because I think these are fair things. I blame no fan for thinking, cut him, trade him, whatever. That's the appropriate response to what he's accused of when you see it the first time or when you just think about it. That is a human response. I get it. It's not going to happen. And same thing to the idea of even the contract. Like if he does buckle on this and you see him sign a contract quickly, he himself might have overreacted to this, considering it is a legal proceeding. You have to take care of that. And whatever's going to happen with the league is going to happen. I would look at Quinshon buckling on his contract demands and being the next guy to sign his contract, and I would wonder, like, all right,
you're really just trying to get the bag here?
Yeah, well, no, are you really taking the best advice?
Interesting. One detail out of the police report, I heard Jeff Phelps getting very angry about this earlier today, is the idea that he was renting out a Lamborghini from the airport.
Why did he get angry about it?
He was like, the way I was raised, you just don't spend your money that way. And he went through this whole story about him like driving vehicles that have, you know him with his minivan. He drives vehicles that have been around for 200,000 miles and such. But he definitely did like a, I was taught to basically not drive expensive vehicles. It's like, well, Quinshon, he clearly had an advance on what his salary was going to be, but he's a 21-year-old kid. That's what they do these days.
Yeah, did Jeff also finish it and get off my lawn?
Yeah, maybe this was the one of their what's their segment where they ask Phelps, or what is it? Is it Askin' Baskin and Phelps Helps?
Yep,
that's what it is. Phelps Helps. Maybe this is a Phelps Help segment. I'm not sure.
I mean, it's sound advice. We like that. It's also just not like. What's the right word? It's not in line with the modern athlete and how they might be paid and how they might live.
I mean, he's 21.
Can you imagine Jeff Phelps giving like Quinshon Judkins or any young kid? Like he's
like sitting him down and being like, hey, so listen, the Lamborghini when you haven't gotten paid, maybe wait just a little bit.
Like Phelps Helps becomes like a program, like an outreach program. The Browns did. Cause you know, they have the rookie symposium. He's a part of the rookie symposium with Phelps Helps.
I actually think now we're swerving into something that could be beneficial for a lot of people. He's got a lot of really good advice for being frugal.
He is.
And you know I'm frugal myself, so I always like to hear it.
Yeah, you got to aspire to be somebody. Does the Quinshon Judkins situation, does this change who the quarterback is at week one? And hits and misses coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. So we're going to play a little game of hit or miss here. Go ahead and hit the music there. So we're going to go through each rookie. And okay. I want you to tell me what a hit looks like. We're talking about for the career here in Cleveland.
For their whole career.
I think so. Yeah, yeah. Because we've done a lot of like rookie expectations. But I do think like, because I think it's interesting to see what you would think their career is given where they've been drafted. So Mason Graham, what does a hit look like for him?
Multiple all pros. Obviously, that comes with a bunch of Pro Bowl appearances too. That's like 7 or 8 Pro Bowl appearances. Maybe you make 2 or 3 all pro selections. I'm not saying you got to be in Cooperstown, wrong Hall of Fame. Saying you got to be in Canton.
Weird if you thought it should be in Cooperstown.
Well, you know, they're moving these things around so often these days. Yeah. New exhibits everywhere. So the point is that I don't think you have to be a Hall of Famer when you're taking 5th overall. I do think you have to make all pro selections, whether that's first or second team. And if you make just a couple, I think that's a pretty high bar to set, but I think it's a very fair bar.
So I do think an 8 to 10 year career where he's just consistently a really good pass rusher and just a well-rounded. I think maybe 5 or 6, like even if he just makes the Pro Bowl half the year or a couple of all-pro teams, I think I can live it. I think what's interesting is my miss, because this is not a knock on this dude because he's made the Pro Bowl already. But if he's Derek Brown in Carolina, and I watch Derek is honestly an underrated player. The problem is when they took him, the thought was, you're not going to generate a lot of sacks in your career, but you'll be stout everywhere. That's actually who he's been. So if Mason ends up being a 2 to 3 sack a year guy and an occasional Pro Bowler, still plays 8 to 10 years,
yeah,
but just never really cracks through on the pressures numbers or the sack number. Derek's a little bit better on the pressure numbers. Sacks matter, especially for a pass rusher, especially if you're taken with a top 10 pick like Derek or a top 5 pick like Mason.
So I got a name for a hit and I got a name for a miss here. The name for a hit that popped in mind, somewhere in the area of Ndamukong Suh, I think would be awesome. Obviously, he just retired, so that's why he's at the top of my brain and everything. But somewhere around there, I think would be something that, and he doesn't have to have the immediate impact that Ndamukong Suh had, obviously, because right out of the gate, he was doing a lot of the things that I talked about him accomplishing to begin with long term. And would I like a better back end of the career than Ndamukong Suh had? For sure I would. But I think that's a definite hit if you're Ndamukong Suh, not even a question. And I think the miss category, if we're talking about people that like still you still accomplish things, but you fell short of the goals and the expectations, not from the inside, but from the outside, I would say Jadeveon Clowney.
Oh, yeah, that's really good. Like, universally good football player, but really was never the best sack artist on his own team.
Yeah, like you did make a couple of Pro Bowls. I think Jadeveon ended up making 3 in total. He obviously had impacts on games. Nobody could say he was a scrub. Nobody could say he was an absolute, massive bust at the number one overall pick. But still, for a number one overall pick, for being taken as high as he was, it's hardly the career that you want.
And bounced around quite a bit. So we're playing hit or miss here. So what we're doing here is we're setting up, all right, this is what a hit would look like if Mason Graham hits as a pick. This is what a miss would look like. Because I think sometimes we treat prospects like it's all or nothing. As you kind of pointed out there with Jadeveon Clowney, there's a spectrum of okay within that. Let's go to Carson Schlesinger, which I don't think there's a huge difference between his hit and his miss.
Yeah.
Where do you start with him?
I mean, out of a second round linebacker, I think I just want somebody to make a Pro Bowl a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more, nothing less. I'd like a longer career than maybe. So I instantly thought if he has Joe Schobert's career, is that a disappointment? And I think that might be closer to the miss side than the hit side.
Yeah, I agree with the miss part of this. To me, it's less about the accolades because linebackers, for some reason, we're just not as consistent with them in who the true elites are versus like a Bobby Wagner, Luke Kuechly versus like a young DeMario Davis or like a Christian Kirksey.
Yeah.
So to me, it's about if it
will DeMario be, Davis is a good one for the hit category.
So for me, my hit is can he be a, this is not just in Cleveland, but can he be a starting middle linebacker in that first season and can he lock down this position through to a second contract?
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is my miss is if he's an off-ball linebacker. Because if he's an off-ball linebacker, I don't think he's J.O.K. I know he was drafted with the idea of potentially filling some of that role. I think Diabate is a great like potential heir. I think he's got a lot of the athleticism in the way, the ferocity which he plays. I think Schlesinger is a absolute hit if he is a starting middle linebacker and locks that spot down for at least the next 5 to 7 years.
You want DeMario Davis in the second half of his career more so than the first half.
Absolutely.
And obviously the hard part about a DeMario Davis career is that he'd be doing a lot of the heavy lifting on the team that didn't draft him, but that's neither here nor there.
So we are playing hit or miss here. Did you say you did get your hit out there.
Yeah.
So 216-474-0092. What is your hit? Meaning if Mason Graham hits as a draft pick, what does that look like and what does a miss look like? We're going to skip Quinshon because I think it's really unfair to have that conversation today given the off-the-field stuff.
Okay.
Harold Fannin Jr., though, I think is really fascinating given the context he's walking into.
Yeah, and so Harold, I don't even think he has to make a Pro Bowl for it to be some sort of big, awesome thing. But I think replacing Njoku, if he's going to eventually do that, then I think I turn someone that was taken in a spot that I shouldn't expect multiple Pro Bowls into a guy that now I have to expect multiple Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
So the hit rate has to be a couple. He's got to have some of the nice individual accomplishments there.
What if he's Njoku? Because I think that same profile, what David has done in 8 years,
it's interesting,
is elite as a third rounder as opposed to if you took him at the back half of the first round.
I mean, he gets
a lot
of the accomplishments then, and then he would have been legitimately. All I want out of Harold Fannin is if every single year they do those ESPN rankings and he's in the top 10 consistently, like Njoku's been for such a stretch now, that's a win. That's a hit.
And I think, so I don't know Harold's ever going to be your best player. Like, he was clearly their offensive BG. If he's consistently your second or third best player, pass catching option, I think that's a really good sign, especially because early in careers, tight ends don't always produce the way they do as they get older, like a Delanie Walker or somebody like that.
My miss, by the way, is going to be one that might be a little controversial. It might also sting a little bit too, and I don't intend to do that. I think Austin Hooper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you have just enough success early on where people are like, should we pay you big? Should we not pay you big? But then they end up not paying them big, and then it flames out, and then everything is just an uphill battle from there.
I was going to go Cole Kmet. He did just enough to get the second contract. You look at the overall numbers. There's a reason they drafted Loveland for Michigan.
Yeah, Loveland should end up replacing him.
All right. We're not going to do the Shador thing because we only do Shador content when you're not here.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Dylan Gabriel.
Because it's the most fun I ever have is talking Shador Sanders. It's like,
got to withhold a little bit.
But do that when he's not here.
Yeah.
Dylan Gabriel. I mean, the hit has got to be... honestly though, that's like a great call. Like, if you're Chase Daniel, when it's all said and done, you've made a lot of money and you've achieved more than most people thought you would. I was thinking clipboard Jesus off the top of my head.
Oh, yeah. Same guy.
Same guy.
Except he doesn't say Diana.
Diana. We just got fired. Diana. Diana.
Too soon.
Diana.
We lost
Diana,
our,
what
we
are
lost,
we doing?
Lost our job today, Diana.
I think the lesser is he's playing in the UFL or the CFL in 3 years. And I can't discount that, by the way. I think he's much more likely to be Colt McCoy or Chase Daniel.
The CFL should have taken his rights, too.
I think so.
And a big battle for Shador's rights in the CFL. Maybe they should have taken his, too.
216-474-0092. Is Dylan Gabriel more of a Toronto Argonaut, or is he more of a Calgary, whatever the hell they call that team now?
Are they the Stampedes, or am I just making things up now?
I think you are right. I think that they do have a hockey team also named, like a minor league hockey team named the Stampede.
That's probably what it is.
Where would Shador go, by the way? You would want to put him in like Edmonton, right? Just get all that attention on a non.
Oh, I'm not focused on Shador if he plays in the CFL. I'm not. But there's a lot that went wrong. There's a lot that went wrong if that were to happen.
I cannot wait for the Peterlin pivot.
Excuse me.
If he ends up in the CFL. From 1 of 8 for the Cavs to 1 of 4. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.